Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Reading for this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, verses taken from chapters 1 and 2. This also serves as today's sermon text. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity, a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae, third chapter, the first 11 verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They once were a couple that was living the American dream. They had a beautiful lake home, several new cars, water toys, two children, a boy and a girl. They had a son who was a star football player back in high school for his team. He was also an academic scholar, earning enough scholarship money actually to attend the large university of his choice, doing well in his classes. The younger daughter was 16 at the time. She's the head cheerleader at the high school that her brother was a star at. Both of them had a great job. They were busy a lot, too busy actually, much of the time. Each of them were so busy with their own lives, they hardly had any time to spend with each other. But by all appearances, they were definitely living the good life. Unfortunately, their jobs, their hobbies, and other things that they enjoyed doing came first, and they hadn't been back to church or any kind of regular worship since their daughter had been confirmed. And then it happened. Right after the worship service on a Sunday morning, the pastor received a frantic call from the son, and immediately the pastor drove over to the lobby of the hospital to meet him. In fact, he was crying so hard, trying to tell the pastor what had happened, that he was hyperventilating, and it took him quite some time to let it all out. He told him that his sister was on a pontoon boat that morning with some friends. She was on top of a double-decker pontoon with another girl, sunbathing, while the guys that were down below were driving the boat, and they decided they would like to give them a little scare up above. They came to a low bridge. They decided to gun the engine, and when they did, she was standing up, and the bridge hit her in the back of the head and knocked her into the bottom of that pontoon boat where the boys were sitting. She had her back to that bridge. She never saw it coming. Mom and Dad were out of town in another state. They weren't even there to greet her or the ambulance at the hospital. And this wasn't just any Sunday. It was Easter. All the nice things this family had accumulated, all the things now sitting in her bedroom, the lake home, the boats, the new cars, everything to them at that moment now was meaningless. Nothing that they owned or possessed really mattered at that point. It was like the wind had been knocked out of their lives. Their daughter had been taken away in a breath. Everything now, all their hopes, all their dreams for the future, everything for which they had toiled under the sun seemed meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing seemed important anymore. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And our text goes on to read, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. The book of Ecclesiastes, believed to have been written by King Solomon according to the authorship and the way in which this book is written. Indeed, this man would have literally seen it all, and he would have done it all. Seen as one of the most wealthiest people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. He makes it clear that everything is meaningless, a chasing after wind. Everything we do to make our lives better while we're in this world is actually meaningless in the end. This is the law rule we hear from our text. It's loud and clear. All is vanity. A poem written by Ogden Nash entitled, Ha! Original Sin, comments really on King Solomon's rule about vanity. A portion of that poem goes like this. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. That's any fun for all humanity? The prophets chant and the prophets chatter, but somehow it never seems to matter. For the world hangs its ancient sanity and orders another round of vanity. We, like Ogden, painfully recognize that the material things we too often live for are indeed a chasing after the wind. And yet, irrationally, we just continue to chase after the wind anyway. So, the question really is, if all of our toiling is vanity, then what should we do about our toiling under the sun? Is it sinful to toil and to labor to pursue for good things in this life? Should we stop pursuing anything if everything is just vanity? It is only sinful, as we look at the focus of our text, when it is focused in on ourselves, on our own selfish ambitions. It is what's in the heart that matters. When the pursuit is motivated by greed and lying and hurting others to get what you want, it's a chasing that is sinful, a storing up things for yourself to satisfy your own lusts and desire, without a care in the world for God, without a care in the world for anyone but self. Identified, by the way, in Colossians as idolatry. Greed and self-ambition are symptoms of this. When we idolize things like money or anything in this world, like the rich fool in the parable Jesus told in our gospel, then we are in a sinful pursuit of them. Things that in the end mean nothing for eternity. But a motive that is God-pleasing, a motive that comes from a heart that acknowledges all things good come from God, then we can enjoy that which God has us toiling for under the sun. And our toil and our pursuit is not sinful. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So if you are seeking to be a responsible neighbor, a parent, or spouse, a child in this life, you know that you need to provide for yourself, to respect those in authority, to do all you can with the abilities that God has given. All our Christian vocations are God-pleasing, and they're never in vain according to His Word. In fact, all the toil and the labor we do in response to the great love that God has shown to us are identified as good works. Paul writes about these works in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Even the Ecclesiastes writer wrote in verse 24 of our text, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Recognizing that our labor is in the Lord brings blessings and thankfulness to our lives. The writer continues in verse 21 of our text, sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. The man talked about this in this verse. The man that's being talked about in this verse could be any man. It can be any one of us. A person works wisely and industriously all his life, and what may very well happen? He leaves the fruits of his labor to another person who is nowhere near as wise, nowhere near as industrious or hardworking as he. Does that sound familiar to you at all? It's precisely what the man, the God-man, Jesus, has done for us. He spent a lifetime on earth toiling with wisdom and knowledge and perfect skill. He went about the land of Palestine doing good and being good, keeping every one of God the Father's commandments perfectly. And what was the outcome? He left all to be enjoyed by a man who did not toil for it. He left it to you and me. Christ accumulated the righteousness and the goodness of God, the inheritance, and we who have not toiled for it, indeed, could not even toil for it, even if we wanted to, are the recipients. Our Lord is a classic instance of a man who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet he left it all to be enjoyed by a man, that is you and me, who did not toil for it. Where for us all is vanity, as the rule, when we look at what Jesus has done and we see all his labor and his toil, we see that he is an exception to the rule. All that Jesus has done for us under the sun is not in vain. It is not meaningless. It is not vain. It was not for himself. His death and resurrection were most glorious, abundantly fulfilling, very meaningful with the purpose that he had established through his Father to give us the inheritance and righteousness that we have not toiled for. The life of Jesus is one exception, the only exception to this rule. And because of his redemptive labor, which was not in vain, we get to enjoy the riches of eternal life. By the way, the family who lost their daughter was a member in my first parish and has given me permission to share this story as often as I'd like. You see, they did learn a valuable lesson through this experience, and now more than any other time in their lives, they understood the words that were written here in Ecclesiastes and Job like they had never known them before. They truly learned that everything in this world is a chasing after wind, and that their possessions meant nothing compared to the relationships that they enjoyed with one another and with their Lord. They learned that the most important thing in life is relationships, particularly those with their neighbors, with their brothers and sisters in Christ, and with their Lord. You see, it came out at the same time that Mom and Dad were not living the good life everyone had imagined them to be. Their relationship was very rocky. They were drifting further apart and had been considering separation, actually, at the time all of this happened. They struggled with the embarrassment they felt going to church and Bible class. They were embarrassed because they knew that their faith and their relationship with each other and with God should have been a priority even before this tragedy happened in their lives. They knew they were chasing things in the world rather than recognizing where it all came from. And that they were not giving the thanks that God deserved for the things with which He had blessed them. And they carried that guilt a long time and that shame. Many conversations with this family. And yet their guilt and their shame turned to redemption and joy as they rediscovered the mercy and the forgiveness of their loving God that they had been given through their dear Savior Jesus. And instead of drifting further apart in their marriage, they actually grew stronger together. And during the years I remained in that parish, they continued to grow in their relationship, not only with each other, but especially with their dear Lord Jesus. You know, they never did go around speaking to groups about their story. They lived their story day to day in their lives, right there among the people in their church, right there in their community. You see, by their example and through casual conversations with this family, others began to discover how they too had been chasing after wind rather than focusing in on things above, vital things, the things that truly have meaning, things of eternal importance. Olive's vanity may be the rule, yes, but the one exception to that rule, our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us all that He has labored and toiled for under the sun. In other words, all is vanity, except for Jesus and His salvation. May you enjoy that inheritance forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. We are currently in our summer worship schedule. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. We also have a worship service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. with our praise band. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.